The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Wigmaster. In this episode, the episode follows the mishaps which befall George and Kramer as a result of their parking at a discount parking lot while Jerry feels emasculated by Elaine's new boyfriend, who holds out the promise of a discount on a designer dress in order to keep her going out with him. What do you think of this episode?
You know, this is just kind of standard. There's nothing like truly memorable about this episode. You know, I mean, if you want to, you know, it has an iconic image of Kramer wearing the Technicolor dream coat.
Yeah.
As he's being, you know, mistaken for, a pimp. But, other than that, there's not really much memorable about this episode for me. It's you know, it's funny in parts, but not, this isn't one that is a memorable episode.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was okay. I like the arrogance of the Craig character, because he looks like a great value Highlander guy, like a great value Duncan MacLeod. And so I like that. I also like that it plays off of the last episode with Jerry and the crest. And then there's like a really good, and I'll play it. There's a really good, bit between Jerry and Elaine about like, hey, you know, like go down to this store or whatever, then I won't be lying. And like, I think that part's funny, but yeah, overall, yeah. It's just, it's fine. Like it's not that amazing. Yeah, it's okay. So the episode starts out, Jerry goes into this like fancy pants clothing store, and he's looking for a jacket that has a crest on it, because of the last episode where he liked wearing the jacket from the Friars Club. He thought it did something for him. And so this guy who's working at the store, he's like a British guy, and he's like, hey, all right, I got something for you. And he shows him this jacket, and he's like, oh, it's got hand ticking around the crest and all this other fancy clothing bullshit. He comes off as thinking he's better than Jerry, and he works at the store, which is bothersome to me. I don't care for that particular type of attitude at all.
Okay, why don't you care for that particular type of attitude? Because that's why people go to stuff like that, right?
Really? Is that why?
That's why people go to like Abercrombie and Fitch, right? Because there's a certain attitude that comes with it.
I don't know. I don't like that attitude. You work there for minimum wage.
Perhaps, okay. That's what I was getting at. Yeah, I just wanted your classism to come out.
Yeah. No. Fuck off. You can't afford the clothes in here at a full price. How are you looking down on me? I'm paying full price. Oh, you can't afford that? Bitch, you can't afford that. Get the fuck out of here. No, I don't know. You want to find a way to get me to ask you to pull down a bunch of stuff, and then I walk out as a fuck you. That's it. I've done it before. Don't treat me like you're better than me. I don't do that. Cuz I don't dress in a way of like, oh, I'm really fancy. I buy a lot of t-shirts at Target. Like, that's just who I am. I don't get like caught up in fashion things, but occasionally I like to buy something nice. And I remember I went into a store. What is it? It's one of these like fancy women's clothing stores, BCBG or something like that. You don't know. You broke.
I don't know. Nordstrom Rack?
Is that it? Kmart? What are you talking about? Yeah, I think it was BCBG. And I went to buy something for my wife, like Christmas or something. And I walk in and I'm like looking at something. And this woman working behind the counter was just like, oh, you know, she said something to the effect of like, I was looking at something and she was like, she came over and she was like, that's X amount of dollars. Like, you couldn't possibly afford it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And so, and I was like, got the vibe. No problem. I was like, can you pull that thing down from that top rack? She got that. I was like, and that other thing. And I just started naming shit. And like, he's like $400 shoes and all this other shit. I was like, that's cool. She was like, oh, can I ring this up for you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she went right back to the register. And I was like, have a good day. You know, you have terrible customer service. Go fuck yourself. And I walked out. Good. Fuck you. Don't treat me like shit. How dare you?
I mean, look, if she comes over and tells you that you can't possibly afford
yo,
this,
her attitude was like, racism. Right. No, she was black. Don't care, yo. Don't
oh,
do that.
Oh, really? Oh, all right.
No, I wasn't.
It'd be your own people.
Right. But she was, I was dressed like jeans and a t-shirt. You know, that sweater is $200. And I was like, okay.
Yo, she said, you know that, she quoted the price to you, like, yes. You know that's what it's,
yes.
Nah, yo, that's racist.
No, yo, and I, mean,
that's, fuck you, lady.
That's classism. Get out of here. And that's why I was like, pick the thing from the highest fucking shelf. You know, they gotta get the stick and shit, they gotta like, yeah. Maneuver, get two of them. She was like, ooh, I'm about to make a big old sale. And I was like, no, you're not. Fuck you. No, I do that shit on purpose. Like, no, I'll make you go in the back. Find me a size 15 wide shoe. I know you won't have. Yeah, go find that shit. Yeah, you digging around? Oh, working up a sweat? Good. Yeah. Nah, I'm good. Thanks. You keep that. I walk right the fuck out. Christmas time, too. So you know, like, she was, because I don't know if they work on commission or not, but you know, she was like, woo, it's going to be a big old sale. Oh, yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. Go fuck yourself. No, don't talk down to me. I don't like that shit. And look, even if I wasn't like balling or whatever, which I'm not, like, but even if I was buying something that was $5, like, don't talk to me like that. No. I take customer service very seriously.
That is amusing.
You know this is $200. Yeah, I know. Fuck off.
Bitch.
Yeah, like, fuck you.
I see it.
Yeah, like, I'm not blind. Like, yeah, it was, and that's why this Craig character I found hilarious, also infuriating. Like, I was just like, fuck Duncan MacLeod. Get out of here. So Jerry doesn't really like the jacket, but Jerry is, okay, actually, I have a question. Do you feel like you are more like Jerry, or I am more like Jerry, or are you more like George, or am I more like George, or are we somehow a little bit of both of those characters?
In terms of this scenario?
No, I mean the show overall.
The show overall, I think we each have our moments of the other, but I think one is predominantly more than the other. Right? Like, and look, this is not like some cheap, you know, height joke. I think I am more like Jerry.
I think that's true.
And I think you are more like George. Like, we have our moments, but like 60-40, 70-30, I am more like Jerry and you are more like George. And, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I was curious to see how you saw it.
Like, yeah.
Because between this episode and the next episode, I was like, oh my God, I am George. Like, in a lot of ways. Yeah, I'm like.
I mean, look, the next episode, if I'm remembering it correctly, I'm right there with you. Like, in certain aspects. Like, you better see me do it. Otherwise, what's the point?
Right. Yeah. No, yo, I bet you on the count. Hey. Paisanos.
That's for next episode.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What's the point of helping people if they can't see you do it? That's fucked up. So Jerry's like, yeah, he's not feeling it, right? So what he does is he tells the guy, well, I'm going to bring one of my friends back and see what they think. And the guy's like, uh-huh. So he basically thinks he can't afford it, right? Which, you know, is triggering to me. How dare you? And, I mean, this man bought his father a Cadillac, for God's sake. And so Jerry's like, no, for real. I'm going to bring my friend back. You're like, go fuck yourself. Like, I'm going to come back. You don't tell me. Again, I understand Jerry's plight. Like, I do. So then we cut to a scene where Jerry is, sitting with Elaine at his apartment explaining this. So I want to play this clip because I find it to be absolutely hilarious. So hopefully this will work.
Really, I'll be back. Yeah. So I didn't like the crest all that much. But the guy spent 15 minutes with me. So to get out of the store, I told him I wanted to see what someone else thought. And then he makes a face like he doesn't believe me.
Oh, so he knew you were making it up.
Yeah, he caught me. So here's what I want you to do. Come back with me to the store and we'll pretend to look at the coat.
That's ridiculous. Why do you want to go back there if you don't want the coat?
Because he thinks I was lying. I want to show him I wasn't.
But you were.
But if you go back with me, then I'm not. All right.
And see, I feel that way.
No, right? 100. Like, yo, 100%. 100%.
I'm incredibly insecure. And I want people of course I could afford it, but I don't know if it looks good on me. Let me bring some, like, I would do this.
Like, oh, I would, even if you weren't, you're saying you wouldn't even be lying. You're telling the truth.
Look, if I didn't like it, I don't like it, but
yeah,
I don't want him to think that I can't afford it.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
I want him to know that I don't like it. And if I get the inkling that he feels like I like it but can't afford it, then I would do this.
Yeah, no, that feels reasonable to me. It's a completely unreasonable perspective, but I get it. Like,
especially if it's like in a mall or something.
Again, yo, look, not trying to be an asshole. You can't afford to shop here, yo. Like, don't do that. Like, don't do that to me.
Like, if it's at a mall, like going all the way home and coming all the way back is a bit extreme. But if it's in like a mall and like my wife is in Sephora or whatever, and I'm just walking around.
Yeah.
And this happens to me, I'm gonna go get my wife and then come right back and do this whole
rigmarole
dance.
No, yeah. Now here's the thing. Do you tell your wife your insanity, or do you just rope her in and then you just play it as a chips?
I have to tell her because
she'll pull on Elaine.
Does.
Yeah.
Right. But she will do it like Elaine does it intentionally. Right. Like, cause she knows, you know, like, well, if I don't tell my wife, she'll do it by accident.
Yeah.
And no, I got to tell her and I got to say, this is the plan. Like, she's a planner. She loves plans. Yeah, so if I come with a plan, then it's like, oh, like we missed Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right? Like we scheming together.
You know, all this to not buy a jacket you don't want. Like the machinations in the mind of an insane person. like what the hell are you talking about? But I 100% agree with you. Like, no, I would 100% rope my wife in. I'd be like, look, I don't like this jacket. But fuck that guy. And she'd be like, you're being ridiculous. I'm like, I understand that. But you took a vow to support me. And that's what we're going to do. Let's go in this fucking store and yell at this BCBG woman. Yeah. So then we find out that George and Susan have a house guest has been staying with them for 2 weeks. Feels a little long, Micah. Feels a little long.
When everything gets back to normal, and when we were buying this house, my wife wanted a guest room. She's just like, I need to have a guest room. And I'm like, you plan on having guests? She's like, I need to have a guest room. I'm like, all
you
right,
plan on having who coming?
You the breadwinner. You get what you want, right? But. So we have a guest room and we bought this house in January of 2020, right when the pandemic was getting ready to just punch everybody in the face. So the guest room is when everything gets back to normal, her mom is coming, her mom and her stepdad are coming and they're going to be here for 2 weeks. And I really like those people, but 2 weeks feels like a lot.
It's a long time. Yeah, it's a long time. I mean, yeah.
It's a pay period, yo. Like, think about when you get paid. I get paid tomorrow as we're taping this. Another 2 weeks before I see another paycheck.
Yeah.
That's how long they're going to be here. Like,
I mean, my father-in-law's been staying with us. It's probably been, I mean, it's been the better part of 6 months. It hasn't been bad. Like, he's like super easygoing. But yeah, like, I can't imagine if it was an in-law like I didn't like, or someone who I just like one of my wife's friends coming in staying for 2 weeks, I'd be like,
2 weeks is a long
time. Yeah, you cramping my style, dude. Like, get out of here. Yeah, so you come to find out this guy is staying with them for 2 weeks, and he is the wig master for the, you know, Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat play that's in town, which is really weird. Also, I just want to point out in this scene, Elaine is drinking clearly Canadian, which is not a thing I've seen since the early 90s, which is just kind of funny.
Canadian. I don't know what that is. I'm assuming it's some sort of beer.
No, clearly Canadian was like, her and Jerry are both drinking it in that scene. It was like a flavored water.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It was just one of the things you bought at the corner store. People used to buy it all the time. So we cut back to, Jerry and Elaine back at the Andover shop, where Jerry is, trying to prove to Craig, how much of an awesome guy he is. And, he brought this woman down. And then Elaine looks up and sees this guy, and she's like, oh, this guy's very, she's like, I too want to sleep with a Highlander. And so they start talking because she knows fashion, because for working at J. Peterman. And he's like, oh, I love those little narrative stories, which just shows how much of a prick he is. And she's like, oh, I write those. And she's like, yeah, I love this jacket. You should buy it. It's awesome. And so now Jerry's like, I guess I'm forced to buy the jacket.
Yeah, I ain't buying that for
you. No, I'd be like, no, I'm not feeling it. I hate hand ticking. That's the thing I hate the most about jackets.
Yeah, that's where the ruse dies. Like,
I'd be like, nah, I'm good.
I'm not. Look, as insecure as I am, I'm super cheap. Like, I'm more cheap than I am insecure. So
yeah, I was gonna say which one beats you out? Like, which one beats out in this scenario?
Oh, being cheap, absolutely. Being cheap,
I'm not gonna spend what I assume at least $200 or $300 on that jacket, out of peer pressure. Like, that's not gonna happen, you know. Like,
right.
I'm a grown ass man, dude.
I just bought three suits for $300 at K&G. I can stretch my money.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are they still around? I didn't even know they're still around.
Yeah, they're still around.
K&G, man. You can get a good suit for pretty good price.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm definitely buying.
I don't care about labels. Get out of here. Shit just gotta look decent.
So, I mean, I assume they were Steve Harvey suits, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. I teased my wife. I was like, oh, hey, look at this red one. She's just like, get out of here. No.
If you don't walk in the back, get a black suit.
You're not wearing a red suit to your sister's wedding. But get out of here.
Looking like Nate Dogg showing up like, yo, what are you doing? What the fuck are you wearing? I know. I thought it was cool. It is not cool. With a matching hat, of course. So George gets home. The wig master is there. And Susan is there, and they're all like, kiki. And George is like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. You find out that Kramer has been parking his car at the Jiffy parking lot, down the road, and it's really cheap. And so it's like $75 or something like that. And, having a car in New York is fucking crazy. So he was like, oh, this is a great deal. But he made a mistake and locked his keys to his apartment in the car. So he's asking Jerry to drive him down there. And Jerry's like, no, I'm not doing it. And he's like, why don't you call George? And he calls George. And George is like, yeah, I'm on my way. I'm coming. Like, anything to get the fuck out of this house. Yeah, I get it. I don't want to be around a bunch of wigs either. So Craig and Elaine are on a date at Monk's. And Craig is like, hey, I can get you a considerable discount. And she's like, oh, well, I did actually see this little amazing black dress. He's like, ah, the Nicole Miller. I've used that dress to get pussy before. I mean, that's basically what he's doing.
Right. Like, that's all it is.
I mean, I'm not mad at this hustle. Right? Like,
no, you gotta get it where you can, right? Like, these people are, I guess, in their early 30s. Like, yeah. you gotta get it where you can. I'm not, this is a victimless crime.
Yeah. You get a free dress. I mean, Kramer even explains it, like, you know, once there's trust, there can be a free flow of exchange of dresses and sex.
There you go.
No one loses. Yeah. I mean, I get it. So Jerry is not, Jerry isn't pleased that Craig asked, Elaine out in front of him. He thinks that's like a little like assuming. What do you think of that? Like, if you're out with a friend of yours who is a woman and some guy asks her out, does that, do you go, huh, that was a little weird, or do you just not even think about it?
No, because I assume, you know, I am a firm believer that, that men and women cannot be platonic friends. So if I did have a platonic woman friend, I would want people to assume that we are together.
Why?
Because men and women can't be friends.
It's so, ridiculous.
There's just something.
I mean, like, it is a level of disrespect. I will give.
Yeah, yo, it's a level of disrespect. Like normally, if you see a man and woman walking down the street, you would assume they're together. I don't think that's a poor assumption.
No, it's right? not. Unless the guy is very obviously gay, and you know, I don't mean that to be like offensive, but like,
yeah, but
everybody like, knows what I mean.
Stereotypically flamboyantly gay.
Yeah, right. Then you'd be like, yeah, okay, that's they're clearly friends. Which even then, I'm not gonna try to talk to a woman. Like in that situation, I am a believer of, I believe in math, and I never approached a woman when I was outnumbered. Not ever. Nope. A woman, hey, it's me and my four friends. I don't have balls that big. No. Cause then you just get fucked. Like if you, like, you gotta, like that idea in, what was that movie? Two Can Play That Game, where Morris Chestnut walks up to Vivica Fox in front of all of her friends. He's like, I have all these questions. And they're like, ooh, yeah. So fine. No, that's not how reality works. Nah, that's a movie.
Nah, you are setting yourself up for serious ridicule.
Yeah, dude, they've been like, do you find me attractive? No, she don't find your ass attractive. The fuck out of here. Right? It don't matter what you look like. You can't ask that question. That's crazy. So no. Hi, can I buy you a drink? Can you buy all of us a drink, nigga? Like, nah, I don't need that. That's what my wife used to do, by the way. Like back in the day. She was like, if a guy came up to her and her girlfriends at a club, because, you know, she was like, you would not have liked me if I had met her during that time. She was like, yeah, I would just be like, yeah, why don't you buy a, like, if the guy, not any guy, but if a guy was like trying to like seem like super cool or whatever, like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And she's like, she's like, my girls are thirsty too, and have them buy all of her friends drinks. I was like, I wouldn't have done that. Like, I would have asked you, and if you did that to me, I'd be like, no. And I'd have walked away. Yeah. I'm good.
No. Nah.
Fuck off.
Like, nah, you ain't worth it. How about that?
No.
How about no?
Yo, look.
For some.
Look, I made the mistake the first time my wife and I went to New York. We went like, you know, like for the weekend. There was some fucking art thing going on, which was very cool. And we went up. And it was the weekend after Michael Jackson died, right? I'll never forget this. And we went to a Michael Jackson versus Prince party where like dueling DJs playing their music. It was awesome. It was like a super New York moment, but it was really great. And I'm like, got this. Like, I'm meeting all our friends who live in New York. I'm like, let me show them what. You know, what I'm working with, you know, check my Bank of America account before I start acting right. Like a fool. You know, don't be stupid. I should say $14. You know, I'm gonna have a water. But yeah, I was feeling good. I was like, all right, payday's next week. I can eat plain rice for a week. I'm good. And so I tried to like impress, and I was like, oh no, I got it. Hey, I got you. Hey, don't worry. They're like, damn, he's cool. I was like, yeah, he is cool. That's right. Tell your friends. And I paid for everybody's drinks or whatever. And I was like, yeah, it was a great time. What I didn't realize, cause I'm calculating in my head. I ain't lose track of how much shit costs. I'm like, all right, mixed drinks, like $10. All right. I paid for five. All right. I got it. What I didn't realize, and here's something for people who don't live in New York. They have a sin tax. And that sin tax.
What?
Yeah. They got sin tax. So it's on cigarettes and alcohol and like, I don't know, porn maybe. But there's an extra percentage on top of that. And I got the bill. I was like, oh. What? It's like, oh no. And my wife at the time, we were just dating, she was like, yeah, do you know about the New York sin tax? I was like, I know about that. She was like, I could tell. She was like, you good? I'm like, I'm good. I wasn't expecting to pay like a third more than I calculated in my mind. I was like, nigga, what the fuck? I was like, you got the wrong bill. Like, hold on.
Thanks for stopping me.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Thanks
for warning me.
Nah, don't worry about it. Yeah. So, yeah, that shit was fucked up.
That's funny.
So, at the parking lot, after George drives Kramer over there, they're like, hey, yeah, we can't give you your car back, George. Not right now. And come to find out that the people in this, that are running this parking lot are just having prostitutes turn tricks in people's cars. So, Kramer's like, all right, I need to get my car back. They're like, we have misplaced the keys. And he's like, hey, why don't you take that pink Mary Kay Cadillac over there? Huh? Which I'm like, that's not a thing. Like, that's somebody else's car. I could be arrested for that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But it's the 90s.
It's the 90s, and they're running a prostitution ring. So,
right. No, I'm talking about Kramer. Don't take the car, you idiot. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, you said it right there. It's Kramer.
Right. He's an idiot. Back at Jerry's apartment, Elaine is talking about the dress. And Jerry's like, yeah, he's working you. Like, he's working. You're not getting that dress. He's like, you slept with him yet? She's like, no. It's like, yeah, well, he's running game on your ass. Don't look for that dress. Then they have, I think Jerry goes on a little scree here that is absolutely perfect. So here you go.
It's been known to happen. I'm telling you right now, Elaine, this guy's going to dangle that dress in front of you like a dirt farmer dangles a carrot in front of a mule.
Oh, this is all very flattering.
Like a shark fisherman with a bucket of chum.
Okay.
Like a shrimp farmer.
Okay.
He's such an asshole. I don't think it's right to dangle gifts and services in front of people. But at the same time, I'm not mad at this hustle.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
I mean, look, Elaine is in full on hot Elaine mode in this season. So I get it. Yeah. I understand. I would deny her that Nicole Miller dress as long as I could. So then we find out, like, the wig master gives Kramer this cane, or no, excuse me, Elaine gives Kramer this Himalayan walking stick that he's walking around in. And, you know, like, so he's got that, which is a part of his whole thing. He gives Elaine this talking to about, like, you know, once you have trust, you can have a free exchange of, you know, sex and discounts, the cornerstone of any healthy relationship. It's like one of the rare moments Kramer, like, makes sense. So fast forward from there, George goes back to Jiffy Park because he thinks that, you know, this place is definitely running a prostitution ring. And so they still won't give him his car. It's in the back. And so he starts like snooping around. Jerry goes back to the store to return the jacket. They ask him why he's returning the jacket, and he says, because of spite. The lady's like, yeah, I don't think we can take it back because of spite. And she checks with her manager, who is great value Dan Aykroyd. He comes over, and he's like, so what's the problem? And Jerry explains it. Yeah, he's trying to return it for spite. And the guy's like, yeah, we can't allow you to do that. He goes, yeah, well, you know what? I just don't like it. And the guy's like, but you said spite.
But you said spite. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. Like, just, I would lose my mind.
Oh, no, dude. Nope.
And I'm not the type of person that like makes scenes like that.
I am.
I would lose my mind.
if you don't give me my fucking money back, I'm going to reach over this counter. I'm going to beat you to death.
It doesn't matter why I want to return it. I got my receipt. I want to return it. Like, right. Get out of here.
Yeah. Is it damaged? No. Give me my money. Fuck out of here. Jerry and Elaine are walking past a restaurant where the wig master, Kramer, and this other woman from the play are eating. They all sit down with them, but everybody has to leave except for Jerry and the wig master, who is I think it's Darren, who is very obviously gay. And when they're sitting down eating lunch and everything is fine, like it's like whatever. This other guy comes over, this other gay guy comes over and asks Darren out, and Jerry gets really mad at him. He's like, why didn't you presume that we were together? And he's like, I just didn't get a vibe that you were. He's like, two guys sitting here having champagne coolies together? How do you know we're not together? And so, yeah, it's more emasculation by Jerry or of Jerry. We see Elaine and Craig back at her apartment. Damn, she is really good looking this episode. And he lies to her and he's like, yeah, the Nicole Miller dresses are on a shipment by boat from Taiwan. So, like, it's going to take a long time to get here. And then he falls asleep at her apartment. Again, why are you not trying to make a move? This guy's the worst Highlander ever.
Yeah, he's not like – it's one thing if you got the you know, the hustle going, but like you got to actually do it, right? Yeah, like you got to charm your way into her pants, right?
Right.
Like that's what guys do.
I mean, I don't. I just, you know, I guess I'm of the Steve Urkel method, the wearing you down method.
The wearing you down.
just gonna stick around until you make a bad decision. So let's see from there. We're nearing the end of the episode. Elaine calls the store and they're like, no, we have too many Nicole Miller dresses, like in size 4. And he's like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. Just come get one. And so while Craig is asleep, she cuts his hair off and so she could donate it because someone mentioned donated, the wig master mentioned donating hair earlier. There's a woman walking wearing a ridiculous hat. It blows off. It eventually makes it to Kramer, and Kramer puts it on and rocks it while wearing the extra version of the Technicolor dream coat. So he looks like a pimp as he's walking around with this walking cane, which is fucking hilarious. He eventually goes to get his pink Cadillac from Jiffy Park, and there's prostitutes in it. And so he ends up getting into like a fake tussle with one of the prostitutes, and then the police show up. So he looks like a pimp trying to beat up a prostitute.
What a weird joke to end the show on.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
they were building to the joke for a while, which to their credit was pretty clever.
Yeah. It's just a weird joke to end the show on.
Yep. Kramer being mistaken for a pimp. All right.
But I'm not a pimp.
Turn around, pimp. All right. That's it. Any parting words?
Nah, no parting words. This episode is no parting words. And then here I go with parting words. this episode was fine, but, not a memorable, episode.
All right.
In my opinion.
Yep. The next episode definitely is, however.
Yeah. All yeah.
Right. All right. That's it for us, and we'll see you guys next time.
See ya. Bye.
Really?